Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wild Dove, Katie, Laurent, and Gray Eyes. Gray will be here in a little bit. And we are one of the many groups on allpoetry.com, and our group is Late Night Poet, and it's free to join. Check us out where you can write poetry, enter contests, and just enjoy hearing poetry being read and commenting on it. Also, these radio shows are supported by books of poetry that have been donated from their poems from different poets from around the world. And you can find those books on Amazon.com, just like the name of our book, our group, Late Night Poets Anthologies. So please go and check it out. They make great gifts and they're beautiful on the table. And so we're going to be starting our show with poets that their poems have been picked for the front page of allpoetry.com. And we'll be doing open poetry, and we have sound clouds and lots of fun. So, you know, try to join us if you can. So let me start picking up the first caller, And I know who this is. Who is this from Scotland?
Oh, hello, my dear. How are you doing?
Hi, Katie. I'm doing good. And you, my sweetheart?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you.
Thank you. And welcome to the show. She is my co-host, and we have another caller.
Hello.
Caller.
Irish Rose.
Yeah. Irish Rose. There you go. I just picked you up. You spoke before I could say your name. Hi, sweetie. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to hearing your poem and your readings tonight.
Welcome. Thank you. Glad to be here. Yeah.
Pleasure. Happy to have you. And caller 585, I know who this is. It's the Butterman.
Laurent. Maybe we could go with pate. Good evening, all.
Sweet,
how are you?
We got our sweet cream reader here. Welcome, Laurent. So let's get started, Katie.
No problem, my dear. Here we have Final Destination by L.J. Mace. I don't know if that's a lady or a man. Can somebody help me?
She's female.
Lady.
She's female.
Thank you.
Lady.
Thank you. Lady, I like it. Okay, so Rose, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. Final Destination by L.J. Mace. Begin poem. The girl on her spoked charge petals on, the wind softly caressing her pinned up hair. On and on, down the dirt country road, the hedges witness her mile by mile. She passes the grazing horse nonchalantly. He wonders to himself, could she get there faster if she was riding him? Relentlessly, she pedals on and on and on, her heavy knitted sweater holes in the heat of her furious physical exertions. Perspiration starts to collect on her forehead. She gives it no heed, but travels on, high on the sense of her unimpeded freedom. The birds soaring overhead seem to accompany her on her way. Halfway, she dismounts her bicycle to take charge of her bearings. Tiring now, pedaling not so vigorously, she continues her voyage, finally standing face back from where she came. She stands in front of a latched wooden gate, home, her final destination, in poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous read on LG's poem. I really enjoyed this poem, riding on your bike on Somewhere to Go, and, you know, all the different wonderful imagery in here. Relentlessly, she pedals on and on. I don't know if you guys ever remember when you've had a long bike ride. Her heavily knitted sweater holds in the heat of her furious physical extension. I mean, you could just literally see that. I could see LG riding on a bike and her hair flowing back in the wild, you know, keeping warm. And I love the upbeat way that you read this, Irish Rose. Did you think about the poem, Katie? Thank you.
Oh, yes. It took me back to my cycling days. I used to love my little bike. Fell off it a few times. But, you know, understandable given little short legs. But I really enjoyed it. This is exactly how you feel when you start. It's as if, I don't know, the exertion, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, it's part of the whole thing to get to where you want to get. Now, I kind of was wondering about the question marks at the end. She stands in front of a latch wooden gate, home, her final destination, Now, that intrigues me, and I have no idea, so I'll pass that on to you. I loved it. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Oh, I liked it a great deal. You can really envision her riding her bicycle. And, you know, it does take a lot from the body. So especially if you're wearing a knitted sweater, you're definitely going to begin to perspire. The line, the girl on her spoke charge pedals on, it's interesting use of the word charge. She uses it in a more old English archaic way, referring to whatever she's riding, normally a horse, which incidentally, she passes, wonders to himself, could she get there faster if she was riding him? And I do like mm-hmm. that. As to the end of the poem, the home, the final destination, let's go back to the line, high on the sense of her unimpeded freedom. And that, it seems to me, that sense of freedom indicates that mm-hmm. back on that bike, going somewhere other than where she normally lives, which presumably does not offer her that kind of freedom. Perhaps her home is in the voyage. I don't know. But it, I do enjoy mm-hmm. the poem.
Excellent. And Gwen, you did such a beautiful, happy, I could just feel the energy when you were reading this. What did you think of LG's poem?
Well, I thought it was suspenseful, and I liked that. I liked the suspense, and it was simple, and it was an adventure that you didn't know where it was going to end or where it was going. And when you got to mm-hmm. home, it was like, huh. Then there was all these perplexing questions you could ask yourself about it, you know. Why was she in such a hurry? Or why was she there? Or is it a special place? Or anyway, I like the way she just kind of left it in the air for the reader.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Katie, back to you. We're ready for our next fabulous poem.
Okie dokie. Now, this one has a SoundCloud. And this is Sever More Pulp Fiction by our own Intimidus Rex.
All righty, let me go look for it. Ooh, we have a whole bunch of them on here, so hold on. Oh, where is it? I just saw it and now I lost it. Hold on a second. Oh, this
no
is why
problem.
Green helps me because this
yeah,
is
I
such
understand.
Tiny
not
itty bitty.
See.
Yeah, it's not Marius Frank. Rex. Okay, I found it. And here we go.
Yeah.
Love that.
Bathtub gins, blue origami earthworms float upon bête noire wings, unkindness. Those spread talons inking my midnight tonsillectomy. Screeches where those paradisical beaks scry blood runes in pulp fictoids wooded compress. A gothic verse where hearts beat haunts my forced trude and licks that tempest of opium smoked. The erstwhile dip in ebon tars, purpling haze, and dreamy third eye vignettes. Scratching vein pulses as cyanide fangs drip in wolfen lungs, howling hunger. Several more barked carnage weeping sapwood as Lenore's chittering quizzical demigod quills my cerebral tintinnabulance in copper-tinged iron gall script. Nevermore rains from my shouldered harbinger's escritoire.
Wasn't that fabulous? Oh, my goodness. Intimidus Rex, congratulations on your gold medal and your front page pick. This was well-deserved. There was an eloquence and a deep, dark taste to this, which I really loved, especially, you know, his vocabulary was just, it was fascinating, it was skillful, and it's his unique style. I mean, there's so many things. I could literally read each stanza, but this one, Evans Tarr's Purpling Haze and Dreamy Third Eye Vinaigrette, Vinette, Scratching Vein Pulses as Cyanide Fangs Drip in Wolven Lungs, Hungering, Howling Hunger. Ah! And then the music. Oh, this was just, I got to say, delicious from the beginning to the end. And what did you think about his poem, Katie?
Oh, like you, I thought that music was so good. It basically lent itself to all the wonderful words he was using. And the vernacular is great. I mean, I love the way he gives us the way to read it. I love that. Scratching veins pulse as cyanide fangs drip in woven lungs, howling hunger. That's magnificently done. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole thing. His read was wonderful. His bathtub gin's blue origami. Earthworms flip on. I love it.
The tonsillectomy.
Yeah. Very good. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Vex. It was a delight.
I agreed. Thank you. And what did you think, Irish Rose?
Oh, my goodness. This was fabulous. Yeah, this was really off the hook. I really liked the backdrop of the music. It reminds me of the old Dragnet stuff, you know, of the 40s and 50s. And I thought, oh, this was like smoke-filled rooms kind of stuff, you know. And I thought his vocabulary, his word choices were just equally as stunning to match the music and its throb and its seduction of movement and the way he presented it. He had such perfect timing and intonation that it just read like butter off his lips, you know.
I really enjoyed that.
It was really sexy.
You're making me want a cigarette or a cigar and a glass with whiskey and you know, some ice in it.
And you know he had to be wearing a fedora sitting on a stool at the bar, right? Underneath one of those lamps that you get grilled at when they're asking you questions if you're, like, picked up by the cops or something. But anyway, it was just really sultry, and I just thought the whole presentation was number one. Good stuff.
Agreed. Thank you. What a wonderful comment. And how about you, Laurence?
I agree with everything you say up to this point. Remarkable, almost experimental. But probably not. But it just seems that way to me because of the way he uses language in the most fascinating way. And all the comments so far on the language are spot on. I like Gothic verse where hearts beat once. By forested truth and licks that tempest and opium smoke, the erstwhile dip in ebon tar's purpling haze. The language is remarkable. The way he writes is unique. And, bravo for the gold.
Excellent.
Great. Yeah, thank you, everybody. And now I want to say hello to, if you can't call, you can hang out in the group. And I want to say hello to Poetic Paso. And I want to say hello to Hope Soul and CL and Phil for hanging out with us. Okay, so we're ready for our next fabulous poem.
Yep, and what we have now is What Do You Mean to Me by Selena. And there's a SoundCloud for that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Here we go.
Thank you. How can I tell you what you mean to me? In my world of turmoil, you are my serene sea. When I'm lost in the cold, you come smiling through. And how can I express all the blessings, all the blessings, all the blessings? It is an enigma to me why my heart chose you, and why fate punished me with feelings so wrong yet true. So how can I tell you that my heart beats just for you, but it weeps to have you near, and my world is painted blue? But each day without you, I crave your gentle touch. I long to whisper tenderly, I love you, oh so much,
oh, so much. Oh.
It's a cruel world out there that offers me a chance to hear the sweetest music to which I cannot dance. You are a constant thought that I cannot forget. I ask, how could I feel this way from the moment that we met? When I looked into your eyes, I knew you were the one. From behind the clouds of pain, emerged a healing. So I must turn away, although it hurts me so. Though tears will flow each passing day, I know I have to go. So how can I tell you what you mean to me? Those words cannot be spoken, for mine you will never be, never be, never be.
Oh my goodness, Delina. Not only were your lyrics beautiful, but so was the music. And, you know, I got tears in my eyes. I felt her emotions. I felt what she was feeling, and that echo and that ache that you have for somebody, which I thought was brilliant how she added that in her SoundCloud, that echo where you love someone so much, but you know you can never have them. But yet, you know, she says, so how can I tell you that my heart beats just for you, that it weeps to have you near, and my world is in the blue, that each day without you, you know, that those emotions that you feel, you know, when you love somebody so much and tears run out of your eyes, not for sadness, but for the emotions that you feel so deeply for that person. And I thought she beautifully did that. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, it was just so. I mean, as you said, you could feel, you could understand the pain. Those the words that I thought were so evocative of what that pain must feel like, but even the word I should use, you know what I mean. It's a cruel world out there that offers me a chance to hear the sweetest music to which I cannot dance. And I thought that was so heartbreaking because it's true. you see somebody, mm-hmm. you hear them talking, they're walking around, they're living their life, and you're not in it. It must be the most heart-wrenching thing ever. The beautifully done, mm-hmm. Selena. Obviously, the music
yes.
was wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. How about you, Irish Rose?
I really enjoyed it. I liked, how do I say, I could feel the pain. I liked the way that she shared the pain of being unrequited love. That love that you will never, ever have, that you can maybe share for a short period of time, or just maybe it's even just one-sided. But that love that holds on and on and on and passes through days and months and years, and you can still go back and look at it and feel it and say, oh, man. You know, you still have that, it's like yesterday feeling. And so, you know, and I thought she did a great job with the presentation and the lyricism that she had, that she, it wasn't quite a song, but you could feel the rhythmic flow in her lines. And I thought she handled that really well, so that the reader could be carried on through the poem and feel like they were part of that song, that sadness and that thing that they shared.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was melodically, it was done very tastefully, and I enjoyed it.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Gwen. And how about you, Nora?
It is an enigma to me why my heart chose you and why fate punished me with feelings so long, yet true. You know, to love so deeply and never be able to express your feelings to the person who generated that emotion, realizing, I think she says, from mine you will never be. Her voice and the way she read it, complimented the words, heavy with the emotion that the author understood in this case perfectly. I thought it was an outstanding poem, an excellent conceptualization.
Thank you, Laurent. Oh, such wonderful poetry, amazing comments. And Miss Katie, we're ready for the next poem. I can't wait to read.
Okay. The next one is John by Mam Ia. Now, would you care to read that for us, please, Lou?
Okay, that'd be my pleasure. John, by Mamia. I walk through the fog, my feet mired in the bog, surrounded by naked trees and filthy, cursing harpies. Losing a branch, one of the trees spoke at once, confessing their sins. Blood running thin. My feet took me deeper into the forest ether until I found a deer face carved on the wood surface. John opened his eyes, caked and tired and filled with flies. A putrid harpy bit off a leaf. Then he greeted me in pain and in relief. How are you here? You shouldn't be here, dear. Weeping at the sight of him, his rotten bark and his broken limbs, he stopped speaking. When his blood stopped oozing, my bosom wailed aloud. My mouth remained cowed. The fog swallowed me whole, just another lost soul. The vision faded in the light of the morning sunlight. The sound of his voice floated above the city's noise, rising through the air as I uttered a prayer in the poem. Oh my goodness. Let's get some comments. What did you think about Mamia's poem, Katie?
Oh, another piece of wonderful writing. I mean, goodness me. Again, we have this pain, pathos. Somebody's really suffering. And you have that stanza, how are you here? You shouldn't be here, dear. Weeping at the sight of him, his rotten bark and his broken limbs. Oh, my goodness me. That's, oh, That's really sad. But I really, I enjoyed it. Very well written. Very well written. I'm repeating myself. Sorry.
Agreed.
And it was good.
No,
thank
you're
you
not.
So much.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Katie. And I'd like to know what you think, Irish Rose.
Wow, this is a really heavy piece. It's about suicide. And the references to the harpies, they're just gigantic eagles. They're the largest of all eagles, harpies are. And so he's in this forest, you know, and she's with him. And so, you know, this is a whole interesting journey of two people, and I don't think that she really realized what she was going to be doing, you know. And my feet took me deeper into the forest ether, till I found a dear face carved in the wood's surface. John opened his eyes, caked and tired and filled with flies. The putrid harpy bit off a leaf. Then he greeted me in pain and in relief. And so, you know, that kind of sets the stage. How are you here? You shouldn't be here, dear, weeping at the sight of him. So, you know, it's one of those sad things that she's encountered. And I, you know, there's a lot of emotion in this. And then all of a sudden he stopped speaking when his blood stopped oozing and my bosom wailed aloud. And he was gone, I suppose. But the fog swallowed me whole, just another lost soul. So I think that she really wove this really beautifully within that context of suicide beneath the whole thing. Very well written.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Excellent comment. And how about you, Nora?
It was about suicide, I agree. And it was about a vision that he had. I walked through the fog, my feet mired in the mud, and she is in this very strange place. It mentions my feet took me deeper into the forest ether, and then you have the scene with John that unfolds, also very strange, and stopped speaking when his blood stopped oozing. Seemed to me to be a reference to him dying in real life, how he died. And then the vision disappears. The fog swallowed me whole, just another lost soul. The vision faded in the light of early morning sunlight. And now we're back in the city. The sound of his voice floated above the city's noise, rising through the air as they uttered a prayer. So she remembers him wherever she goes. And in this case, she happens to be in the city, not in that strange land that the vision brought her to. Remarkable piece. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lauren. Yeah. She wrote this for Robert for Solace of Shadows, The Ninth Circles of Hell, Dante's Inferno. And I thought she did that so well, so visual, that, you know, you could just see the darkness and also how the soul suffers. And, you know, the trees dying, you know, there's nothing worse to watch somebody suffering, whether it's a tree or a human being that's, you know, uncared for and unloved and, you know, just, you know, the advice that the tree gives her not to be there and, you know, to fill that darkness and to be swallowed up, but the fog swallowed me whole, just another lost soul. The vision faded in the light of the morning sunlight and her rhyme were like tears that were falling. It was beautifully rhymed. Thank you, Namya. Okay, back to you, Katie.
Okay, my dear. And we have Through the Heather by Average White Man. And Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
Certainly. Let me just refresh. Okay. Through the Heather. Ends without true beginnings. Commitment without weddings. Love without endings. A keen northwesterly gale dishevels us, fingers entwine on a short climb through the heather, as the shelter. The wind bites our reddened cheeks, but we don't notice the weather. Once inside, I waste not a moment, for my lips are pressed irrevocably to your luscious parted petals. Utterly, irresistibly divine, you are to me. You're back against a cold wall of thoughts, but you feel only the heat between two lost lovers, locked in an embrace of exploring fingers and probing mouths, searching, tasting, and savoring, like this is our final meal. Strong, rough hands slide through your locks, your scalp. Tingles chase dragons up spines, through hidden pathways in our minds, to these eyes, overwhelmed by a touch so sublime. Chests heaving like geysers, ready to burst forth in a glorious chorus of carnal lust, fueled by surging waves of love. To open the floodgates, you can hold back no longer. And I only truly found myself when I lost myself in you. End
quote. You did such a beautiful, amazing read of The Average White Man's Poem. I was looking at his author's notes. I think it has a withering height feel to it. As always, this poem is based on the personal experience of a passionate moment in a clifftop shelter. You know, I thought that he did this beautifully. I remember I saw that movie as a child, and I never forgot it because I could just feel the loss and the pain and the love that was between them, you know, in those hidden pathways where they would try to see each other and the passion that they had when they kissed and finally got to touch one another. But at the end, of course, it was sad. You know, it says, by a touch so sublime, just heaving like geysers, ready to burst forth in a glorious chorus of carnal lust, where lust is just mingled in so deeply with love that you cannot literally breathe without that person. And I thought that this was just fabulously written. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, I got the Wuthering Heights vibe for sure. Oh, Heathcliff. Uh-huh. Yes, I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed this. It gives you the feeling of what it's like to be up in the Highlands, whether, I don't know if he actually meant this to be read as it was in the Highlands, but we call it a bothy, that little hut that you find dotted in and out and round about the valleys of the Highlands. It's called a bothy, and anybody can use it. It's never locked. It's always there to be opened and used. So I think they put it to a very good advantage. I think they really enjoyed being inside the bothy and getting out of the keen wind. So a lovely, beautifully written. So thank you, Average White Man.
Thank you. And I love your accent. You're just an Irish Rose, what did you think?
Oh, Heathcliff, where art thou?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, and I liked the imagery that was in this poem. I thought it was very passionate and very full of robust feelings, and I liked this one bit of passage, chest heaving like geysers ready to burst forth in a glorious chorus of carnal lust. I think, wow. Glorious chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was well, I loved the imagery, and it was well done.
Yeah, it was wonderful to hear Laurent read it. And I really enjoyed so much how his reading, it just takes you back to that time and place. What did you think about the poem you read, Laurent?
I like that a great deal. I can't say I'm familiar with Wuthering Heights. I know I saw the movie. I can only remember a few frames of it.
Oh, my.
It's a shame. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm sorry. But I love the first three lines. Ends without true beginnings, commitment without weddings, love without endings. It epitomizes that moment in time when two lovers who want privacy go through much physical exertion to get there. And once they do, we find them locked in an embrace of exploring fingers and probing mouths, searching, tasting, and savoring, like this is our final meal. It was a sensuous gothic whirlwind of emotions and imagery, so much energy and passion. I thought it was a very entertaining, well-written piece.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Thank you, everyone. And now we're ready for our next fabulous poem.
Aha, and our next fabulous poem is Nowhere I Know by Eski. I think I should read this because I haven't done anything. Just been sitting here on my laurels.
Put you to work.
Yay. I don't even know what my laurels are, but I think I'm sitting on them. Okay. Nowhere I Know. The sound of freedom's tears collected in my ears. A penny for your fears, and the black surrounds me. I'm frightened by the dark, the dog, the bite, the bark. Each needle and its mark will not define me. These bruises that I wear, this aura of despair, each silent, empty stare will not represent me. Each time I fall, I rise, defiance in my eyes, fixed firmly on the prize. Walls cannot contain me. I dug us both a grave, pretending I was brave, revenge's bloody slave, and the rage consumed me. I sang around the lay, wearing your dress today, my hips began to sway, and the words escaped me. Nowhere, nowhere, I know, nothing will always grow from above to below in the earth that owned you. End poem.
You read that so beautifully, Katie. Eski, this was something that, another poem that is deeply emotive, and also the power of, you know, when you, if she says here, and the black surrounds me, I'm frightened by the dark, the dog, the bite, the bark, each needle and its mark will not define me. The bruises that I wear, this aura of despair, each silent empty stare. You know, this rhyme is just so sublime. You can just feel the prick of pain in the stanzas. And, you know, to have a painful past is not something that defines us. It is something, it is a badge of honor to survive. And I love this poem, and I hope that her hips continue to sway in happiness and survival. Oh, this was just fantastic. What did you think, Katie?
It was an absolute joy to read this. It was so good. It basically read itself, which is really nice for me because I can just enjoy it while I listen to myself talking and saying the right things for a change. I thought it was, the rhyming was fantastic. A simplicity to it that I adore. I like the, you know, I don't like no throws, because of course I do, everybody does. But now and then to hear something that is right on the mark, exactly what the person wants to convey, there is no thought of doubt or wondering, it's there for you. I thought it was wonderful. And having had a life that's not been that particularly wonderful, I could really relate to this in so many ways. I thought my favorite one, I'm going to try and be quick because I know there's a lot to be done, but this has got to be said. My favorite one was, I sang around the lake wearing your dress today, my hips began to sway. That's a recovery. That's her going into a recovery. And that was, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Katie. And I would like to know what you think, Irish Rose.
Oh, this to me felt like such a classic rhyme. You know, one of the older standards that one would hear, perhaps in Elizabethan times or whatever. And it just really struck me that way. And what I really thought was such a, what delivered the power was the in-rhyme scheme that was always there with the beat, the downbeat. You were always anticipating that, you know, as the resolve. And I really enjoyed that. And my favorite lines were, where's her closers? Nowhere I know. Nothing will always grow. From above to below, in the earth that owns you. And it was very sad in the end, but I just thought it was just really well done, and I really enjoyed it. Bussick, very good.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gwen. And how about you, Laurent?
You may have quoted this, I'm not sure. I'm frightened by the dark, the dog that bites the bark, each needle and its mark will not find me. These bruises that I wear, this aura of despair, each silent, empty stare will not represent me. The defiance in the tone in which she wrote this, it kind of reminded me of a popular song. If I can quote a couple of lines, I was made to be tested and twisted. I was made to be broken and beat. You know, almost an acknowledgement. You know, these bruises that I wear will not represent me. You know, if I was born to this, but I was born to this. And each time I fall, I rise. So I really like that tone, because it acknowledges the depression, the darkness, but that it also offers us hope, the light that I don't know what I was going to say there, but I do like that last line, in the earth that owns you, an acknowledgement that from dust we have come, and to dust we shall return. Outstanding
piece. Mm-hmm. I agree. And Gray, did you get to hear the poem that Katie read, Eski?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, Katie, we're ready for our next poem, and I'm glad you're back, Gray. I'm going to need to get me some binoculars to see this writing on here. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's nothing worse than not being able to make things out when you're trying to you know, read or write very hard. I know I've got big, thick glasses. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we have Spring in My Backyard by C. Glass. And Rose, would you care to read this for us, please?
Thank you. I'd be pleased. Spring in My Backyard by C. Glass. Begin poem. Mounds of sunny celandine flowers around the trees arrive first. If you don't count the daffodils planted too shallow on the greenwoods on the road up to town, the nodding yellow trumpets nestled in white frost and snow of January are surreal. Now it's March and the scent of hyacinth and Daphne seduce. Buds fatten on a lilac and the magnolias are speckled with half-open flowers. Sleepy velvet bumblebees low fly when the sun shines. And I'm peeved with neighbors cutting grass already, leaving no habitat for butterflies, moths, and grasshoppers. Joyous blackbirds call the morning awake. They're all but building nests, crow, blackbird, sparrow, and finch. Even the robins are seen in pairs. And I'm planting root veg, broad beans, and spinach. But it's spring evensong I love the best. A cacophony of chirps, trills, whistles, and clicks, ringing through the still leafless hawthorn and rowan trees. At dusk, coupled wood pigeons glide in silhouette along the twisted willow, tree boughs, and the blackbird always sings the last notes of the day, heralding nightfall. In poem.
Ah, Yara, that's so gorgeous. It's such a gorgeous read, Gwen, of this poem. I just felt as if I was with Sea Glass in her garden. My garden's my front yard. And, you know, I go out there with no noise just so I can listen to the birds and I can listen to the bees and the hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I love hummingbirds. Everything's zooming by. You know, sleepy velvet bumblebees, low fly when the sun shines. You know, she says, yeah, there's nothing worse than somebody, you know, using their weed eater to cut the grass when you're drinking a cup of coffee. And they're, you know, that's not attractive.
Yeah.
And I'm peeved with neighbors cutting grass already, leaving no habitat for butterfly moths and grasshoppers. Yeah, you know, I love nature and I just love this poem. It just made me feel so good just hearing you read it. the, you know, the pigeons and the twisted willows, you know, this was so visual. And I love poems that make me feel that way, as if I'm there with you. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Oh, it must be lovely to have a garden like that, all of those beautiful flowers. I mean, I know we have to have seasons. I appreciate that totally. That's the way it is. We have to accept it. But spring is just so wonderful. Is it so wonderful because, you know, before we had the winter, possibly, going from winter into spring, that might give it, but I think it's just lovely. And the lines here are just so beautiful. I love bumblebees. I'm getting rather worried about the bees, but sleepy velvet bumblebees low fly when the sun shines. Ah, cute. We always have a queen bee that floats about our garden looking for somewhere to settle down, as it were, and I think she's beautiful. Lovely, big, fat, plump thing. So cool. So, yes, yeah. And now we're planting. We're planting root veg, broad beans and spinach, but it's spring's evensong. I love the best. True, true. So, yes, beautiful observation of what it must be, a lovely garden. I'm so pleased you have a garden like that. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And I would love to know what you thought, Irish Rose, since you read this.
Oh, I just enjoyed myself to pieces. I love gardening. I have a garden. And I was over at another friend's house yesterday in their garden. I was helping her out with some weeding. And I heard this bird. I'm going like, what is this? And I look up, and here is this emerald hummingbird just chattering away, making all kinds of racket. And I'm going like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it was just
He
it
was telling
fabulous.
You to put out some sugar water, girl.
Fabulous. Yeah, he was
singing to you.
He was a cute little flirt, and I enjoyed his song. And so this was just like, yeah, I know this bird. great poem.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, but they only live 3 to 5 years, and they teach their young, and they know to come back every year. And he came in, like, zooming around, like, hey, lady, where is my honey? Yeah, and I do. I blow kisses at them. You know, I talk to them, and he talks to me, takes a drink, and yeah. Oh, what a wonderful, how beautiful. I would have loved to have seen that, Gwen, and the rock.
Oh, it was fabulous. It was just like amazing.
I can hear you smiling while you're talking about it. Yeah, you can hear
it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just such joy. And you, Laurent, you've had any sugary hummingbirds flying around you? I guess not. Laurent?
Uh-oh.
You're right. I was on mute. I beg your pardon.
You got me scared.
I don't have to. We've only got one or two hummingbirds around here, despite planting the right kind of plants and putting out food, et cetera. We don't get many. And I'm going to apologize because I'm trying to deal with a computer issue, which is preventing me from reading the poem. So since I'm last and everybody else commented so well, we will just call that even and move on.
Okay. That's all right. Yeah, my computer moves like a snail, and when it goes out, I'm texting Gray, help me, help me, help me. And Gray, what did you think of this gorgeous poem? My sea glass.
Well, I thought Irish Rose did a beautiful read on it. But, you know, the poem was enchantingly beautiful. You know, it really hypnotized the reader as I read through it. You know, you were taken into this place and this time with her in her garden, and just captivated the mind with imagery and sound. So just a beautiful, beautiful poem. And I just wanted to say that Irish Rose with the hummingbird reminded me of we bought a lodge in Northern Ontario, and we opened it up in the springtime, and the porch was screened in, and one day I opened the door, and poof, here comes this hummingbird at the exact same moment, flies into the screening and is pinned there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you get him out?
Yeah, I just gave him a little tap on his beak and backed him up, and he blew off, so... But no, that was amazing.
Aww.
It was so beautiful.
Oh, they're special. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're magic.
Okay, since we... They are magic. They enchant me. They make me happy. It doesn't take much to make me happy, but they make me happy. since we have five callers, what we're going to do is we're going to do three comments per poem so we can just read all this amazing poetry.
Okay.
Okay, ready for our next poem.
Right, next one we have is Twilight Kisses the Mauve Sky by Cedar Chapman. Mm. And Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Okay. Twilight Kisses the Mauve Sky. And this is by Cedar Chapman. Twilight kisses the mauve sky as he plucks a four-chord rift with smoke wisping from his pipe. Mama sways her hips, slowly moving forward. Chartreuse hands rustle with midnight shadows while the moon strokes the pond surface, sending golden ripples to caress cerulean blue. She runs her fingers through Papa's hair. We wiggle and run away. Today, fishing can't wait. And poems.
you read that so fabulously. I really enjoyed that. I really love that, Cedar. And I would like to, let's go ahead and get some comments. And let's start off with Rose. What did you think of Cedar's poem?
I really enjoyed it. It was short, but it had nice special emotions. It was very emotive in gentle feelings and imagery that conveyed to the reader that it's a special kind of private moment between Papa and someone else and Mama, and so we'll just like fade into the woodwork kind of thing. And I enjoyed this. I thought it was great.
Great. Thank you. Beautiful comment. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, I like to think that all kids have the ability to realize when a moment is special and to leave their parents alone. It doesn't always work that way. Most of the time it works the other way. It's always an interruption. I'm sorry. I've had four kids. I know what happened. It's amusing that this poem was originally intended to be 8 lines maximum. But as explained in the AN, he reorganized the lines after the contest was over. And I've done that too. It's very frustrating. You got a poem, you really like it, and you're 2 lines too long, and you go, what am I going to do? So you bite the bullet, you reorganize it, then you unreorganize it. A beautiful little piece. The night fishing can wait. Absolutely.
Fabulous comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray, you read it. I would like to know what you think.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It was a very intimate moment that was captured here. And I really enjoyed the write. You know, it had excellent flow and imagery throughout. And I really especially like the ending, Today Fishing Can Wait. So, yeah, fantastic write. Pleasure to read it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Well, you're better than I am. Oh, God, it is okay. I thought I'd put it up. I was so enthralled. I get enthralled with what's being said, and I'm listening to everybody talk, and I go, oh, no, wait a minute. That's the end of that. Time to start.
Yeah.
Okay. Entirely Inflamed by Wild is the next poem we have. And again, I don't know if this is a man or a woman. I'm so sorry.
It's a man.
Oh, a man.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, I see it now. Groovy glasses. Okay, Laurent, would you care to read this for us, please?
Certainly.
There you go.
Entirely inflamed. Beaten rare foot in mouth. Toes within rows, row crunching, raunch rumbles, rubble upwards. Sandpaper, papered thighs, pulse, pulsating, stating stains. Indelibly lipped on tongues, lips slip zip lines, feathered in meanders of skin-tight origami drums. Simpering, simpatico, aligned mints, voodooed rhythmic clinics, chaotic cyanic, cyanotic dew drips. I'm sorry. I'm going to begin this line again. Voodooed rhythmic clinics, chaotic cyanotic dew, drip drops to the udders of open mouth teats amputated. Into feats, heats rising. Pulse, ping, sponging sutures, stutter, coming again in roaring rains of empathic ephemera, everlasting, empathically aglow. Feathered dancer wiggles, exposed in throes of dimly lit shows, ethos, pathos, low begoes. Illumined, logical toggles, tugging, tagging, tick, tick, cow, stammering, strummed, enthymed, hummed hymns, hymens offered as blood sacrifice to the gods of creation, pulsating, sensating, illuminating, dominating domains of refrain and chorus, choked by the rebel's sigh, bored with the norm. Volley returned to the storm. Lobo looming, six flocks, full butt stops, fired into pyres, red Adair flares. Lupus integrates lunette along razor's edge of separated line, jagged spill, flashing spills until the last post bugles shrieking in full fanciful flights. A light entirely inflamed. I'm sorry. And God damn it.
That was a tongue twister. You know what? For it being your first read, you did such an amazing read. I was just looking at here where it says the last post is a bugle call that signifies the end of the day's activity. It's also sounded at military funerals to indicate that the soldier has gone to his final rest. And I saw that not only did Wade write this, but he also collaborated with Alchemist. And, you know, this is so seemingly tied together. I would not be able to tell who wrote what. And, you know, especially, oh, I was just listening to him. Lips slip, zip, mind feather and meanders, the skin tight origami drums, simpering simpatico alignments, rooted rhythmic clinic, chaotic, cyanotic, drip, drops in the udders of open mouth, tets, amputated. Oh, my God. This is just amazing from the top to the end, seamless in its imagery and the sadness of a soldier that is finally laid to rest. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes. That is beautifully written. I mean, that is just so much emphasis on the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just very, very clever. I really enjoy it. I love the dance of the words. They just popped along. And yet, they shouldn't have been so light, and you know, but they were. It couldn't be helped. It was just the beat. So I thought it was wonderfully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Wild.
Yeah. You know, now that I think about it, it did sound as if, when I was listening to Laurent, it did sound as his voice was a drum beat. Ah, mm-hmm. That's great, great catch, Katie. Wow. And Irish Rose, you're our last comment. What did you think of this amazing poem?
Oh, I loved it. I loved the close time rhyme of the short words that evoke the rhythm so well. And they both use this to their advantage in this, and I thought it flowed very well. I think for the first read, Juan did great. I'd like to hear it at full speed. I think it would be a real trip, you know? But I really enjoyed that rhythmic, that rhythmic flow that it's a little bit rapish, and it could be. So it would be a lot of fun. And I enjoyed this whole thing. I thought, wow, this is nice. But that close rhyme is really fun. I enjoyed this. Great ride.
Great.
Great call.
Great. Thank you so much. And we've got time for one more poem, Katie.
Oh, sorry.
Before we go to open poetry?
Yeah, I just said okay and I was on mute. Yep, so I've got Rainbow Day Bursting in Spring by Irish Rose. And Rose, would you care to read that for us, please?
Okay, thank you. Okay. A Rainbow Day Bursting in Spring. One. Aimless ambling crosses trodden fescues, an easy path to follow, straining away from the mountain, pulling towards open fields like a dog on a leash, trusting the dark undergrowth coloring that lofty spire, emerging in a meadow where it's winding widened and vanished in a sea of blue moon crocus, Goldilocks, and firefly snow, a carpet of preening pastels paying homage to a gentle sun and a wind that did not blow. Perfume hung in still air, mystical mixture atomized in shades of yellow, purple, white. Symphony of fragrance, that notes moist, with substance plump and round, bursting like bubbles on a rainbow day. Nearby, that notes sung by croaking frogs, drift moist across lily pad bogs, moldy smells of mulching earth, secrets kept in spring's cold dirge. Wriggling curls beneath the trees, root toes seeking soft dead leaves. With substance sweet on the wind, bumbles buzzing plump and round. Tulips swell like bursting bubbles, lilies pray in warm, warm sun. Voles burrow in earthworm trails, weeds shout on a rainbow day. Trumpet vines splay knot and climb between the bamboo trellis lines. Vultures spy glide high in the sky, watching my garden all full of life. Clouds now billow like fat white ghosts, cursing like sailors without any words. Dogs howl, cats bail, fleeing from sleet and cold hard hail. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful poem in your imagery in here. Let's get you some comments. Laurent? Would you, you're next to comment on a rainbow day bursting in spring?
Well, I thought that Rose did an outstanding job with her portion of this. We both wrote to a prompt, and it was interesting to see how each of us interpreted that prompt, and I thought she did an outstanding job.
I think so, too. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray Eye?
Yeah, you know, that was just beautiful, you two. It was seamless, incredible imagery, incredible sensory, you know, annotations of just smell, touch, scent, sound. Sorry, smell and scent are the same thing. But, you know, you really capture this beautiful place at this incredible moment. And I really like the way you kind of change that to bleeding from sleet and cold hard hail at the end. So just a beautiful write and read, Rose.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, this was just lovely. It just made me want to walk down that path and follow it all the way up into the mountain. I love the imagery of the dog on leash just walking through this, emerging in a meadow where it's winding, widened, and vanished in the sea, a blue moon, caucus, golden locks, and firefly snow. Oh my God, just made me want to just walk there and just admire and lightly touch them, not to pick them. You know, being that gentle sun, fume hung in the still air, mystical mixture, atomized in shades of yellow, purple, and white. And this was symphony of fragrance. Fat notes, moist with substance, plumped and round, bursting like bubbles on a rainy day. And then also then the next one says, fat notes sung by the croaking frogs, drift moist across lily pad bogs, moldy smells of mulching earth, secrets in the spring cold dirge. You know, wouldn't you just want to be there with somebody you loved and to walk along this beautiful trail and, you know, to go back to a nice warm fire and hot chocolate or coffee. This made me feel like I was there amongst the fat white ghosts, the clouds now billow. Oh my, this is so beautiful. This was just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I loved it.
Thank you.
Now we're back to you, Katie.
Okie dokie. Now we're into open poetry. And we have up first, Panties and Wine by Poetic Picasso. I wonder what this might be pertaining to. There's a SoundCloud Gray. I wonder if you could do us the honor.
Yes.
My dear, our seduction begins if the rays of our moonlight dance, as our lascivious lips are drenched in the humidity of our sensuality. The whispering winds of our restless passion evoke suddenly by the magnetic moans echoing from our sexual appetite. We imbibe gradually from the sweet beverage of scarlet wine, the aphrodisiac taste of edible grapes shared in our melting mouths. We delight in the aromatic arousal of this exotic flavor, as the drops of intoxication penetrate the surface of our carnal flesh. We explore the inhibitions of the chemistry of our nocturnal pleasures. I unloosen the threads of the see-through G-string of your sexy lace garments. Moistening with a libidinous lubrication for my erotic fingertips. The dripping desires from your erogenous G-spot. I kiss your tremulous thighs and soak them with the tip of my tongue, dipped in the stimulating shade of my Spanish sherry, pouring it over your bosom, steeped in the substance from my glass. Panties of mine, seducing me in multi-orgasmic ecstasy. Soy tu amante, eres mi fantasía, tu cuerpo es mi sed. El vino que me emborracha. I am your lover. You are my fantasy. Your body is my thirst. The wine that lengthens me. Ole. Ole. Do you still want more, my dear?
That disco song came to my mind. More, more, more. How do you like it? How do you like it? Oh, man. Okay. Ah, let me catch my breath. Miss Katie, I would love to know what you're thinking.
Oh, no, you would.
Oh, yes, I would.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
From the tip of my tongue to my sipping of Spanish sherry, I am totally undone. Wow. By the way, I love sherry. It's one of my favorite drinks. So we're in there. We're having a great time. Wow, Frank. This is hot, hot, hot. And oh, look, I'm sorry, but you're teasing us with this multi-orgasmic ecstasy. I mean, when's that coming around? Anytime soon?
Well, he said this Wednesday. He's running for Pam's contest. So I'll invite everybody to please check out Pam's contest for this Wednesday. I'll be co-hosting with her, so I'm so excited.
Oh,
and our next
comment.
I'm looking forward to it too. Our next poet to comment is Gwen.
Yeah.
This was
muy caliente. Yeah. This was so well done. I love the. I always love the way that Frank has this slow, deliberate delivery with the music in the background. And it's just, it's like the pulse is beating, you know? And I really love that whole thing. And it kept the beat of the thoughts going. And so all I could say is, ole, ole. Nicely done, Frank.
Thank you. Gray, I have somebody online, and all I have is a black page. It's not okay, there we go. I can pick it up. Okay, hold on. And our next poet to comment, thank you, Irish Rose, is Laurent.
Yeah, everybody knows Frank writes some rather erotic stuff. This one, though, in particular... Moistening with a libidinous lubrication from my erotic fingertips, the dripping desires, your erogenous G-spot. Now, with all due respect to Frank, because he's written a great piece, in my experience, most guys who brag about knowing where the G-spot is don't know where the G-spot is. So I'll leave it at that.
But there's nothing like looking for it, right? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he smokes it up. And I have another caller, caller 804. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hi, Sola. Where have you been, girl? We've been missing you.
Sola.
Welcome, Sola. Besos.
Hello.
Kisses to my girl. She's learning Spanish.
Sola. Sí, hoy hablo muy bien español.
Yeah, but you're doing it good. Poquitos, okay. Welcome, girl. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. Welcome.
Thank you.
So,
great to hear yours too. I'm just going to
Yeah, and I'm so happy to have you.
Okay, hello.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello.
That's fine. And we're in open poetry right now. If you want to stick something in. And we're ready for you, Katie.
Okay, next one is next one is Texan Love Typewriter by Hope Soul. And if nobody minds, I'm going to read this one.
Okay.
Let's see. Here we are. Texan Love Typewriter. Keep me in your mouth. Swirl warmth around each taste bud. Behind the hand-rolled cigarette, dance with amber leaves, right there, right next to the promises. Let me be your silver patron tequila, as the secondhand smoke finds a way to twirl and dance along the softness of your thighs. Sucking the breath out of your lungs as the cheeks on your face turn tomato jam red, you are mine, as long as the tip of the cherry burns. Tell me more. I could die of this. Understanding tongue, golden ties, belting out inward spirit pure. Learn to read lips. Mouth dreams into woven reality. Take me lower, beneath the dirt. Make these bones scream. Out for your shower. Artemisia, absinthe sage, decorated the pale moon. Alongside the cockroaches, howl into collar blades. Drink me, yes, all of me. Mead cultivated from sangria rose. I'll take my time to venture into the landscapes as this suit of skin, thin, flesh and bones, rolls abound in the California king-size fields of the poppy. The milk soon snakes its way into the chamber. I'm a man of many oddities. That spreads walnut butter on XL pancakes. Maple syrup drizzled down, their forks and spoons containers ready to engage and fold the silverware. Warm wooden tables, hard benches, lemon, ginger, and Jameson's Irish scotch to attack the pollen that blocks my nostrils. And of course, the oddest of them all, love. End poem. This was a collaboration, I think, with Nunu.
Mm-hmm.
With Nunu.
Yes, it was. And you did such a beautiful read of their poem, Nunu and Hope. And let's get them some comments. Our next commenter is Gray Eyes.
You did a beautiful read of that, Kate. But, you know, the right was definitely a journey through this time and space that these two share, you know, really hits all the sensory notes of smells, taste, sound, feel. It's just a beautiful poem throughout. Amazing collaboration between the two. They really are a love on show.
Thank you. Wonderful and beautiful comment, Gray Eyes. Salva, what did you think of Hope's and Nuno's poem? Salva? Can you hear me?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, sorry, I was on mute.
Okay. I thought we lost you. That's okay.
Yeah, okay. It's very sensual and romantic. And there's like almost very, I don't know how to say it, but I can't find my words. It's been a while since I've been in the show, sorry. So it's just beautiful poem.
Agreed. Thank you, Salva. It's so great to hear your voice. And Irish Rose, what did you think of Hope and Nuno's poem?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I thought it had really great imagery. I loved the way it traveled through the senses and all of its descriptive colors and forms, you know. And the way it flowed down the page was artistic in the form taken to write the poem. And it really it's really cool. Abstract, curving, almost looks like a spinal form. But it was really effective, I think. And I thought that they had a seamless collaboration. I enjoyed it. Well done.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And caller 512, who am I speaking with?
Oh, that's me and my voice. Hello there.
Oh, yeah, we can hear
you.
Yeah, hi, Frank. Yes, we can hear you right now. Really good. Welcome to the show. I always love having you on here, too. I love all you guys. So now that we have the people that I want to hug and kiss, let's get our next poem in there.
Okay. Our next poem is At the Rate They're Going by Ben Hart. Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. Okay, this is called At the Rate They Are Going by Ben Hart, I-46. I wonder if by then I'll still be champing at the bit to rage at every quiet night I get. Should I ever make it to 46 in the grand scheme of everything? If by then all the parts of me at least begin to resemble something I would have wanted to be worthy of growing up, I don't think the answer to what if this is all I'll ever be will give me inner peace. If by then the stars will have left, and at the rate they're going, that's not a bad bet. Guess emptiness is as good as it gets. If by then a machine will know it's numb, but for that, it has to know what feeling is. And when it comes to that, I'm not sure man will make for a good teacher. If by then we have finally followed the one who did as he preached it, the politicians let them fuck their whores, keep our sons from going off to war and weigh old hallways hollow. I wonder if by then I'll still be a man of constant sorrow. That should be making room for the stars of tomorrow, but instead is tearing out the roots. I wonder which random room will dictate my life and if by then God will finally care about our love, if I will ever see you again. After that night, when you were leaving again, but this time, more than just a moment, because in my fight against depression, you were backing my opponent. And I wonder if at 46, I'll still be a man, or if I'll finally be something a little more delicate to the traveler. I don't belong to this world. I'm not even sure I belong to God, this God and all of this empty effigies. All I know is where I belonged, not all tangled up in gravity. And my dearest Eve, every pair of eyes by which you lied that you were leaving, I believed, and I have lost so much for love that most days I just shut off and commiserate. Don't love too much, okay? I hate to think I'd ever again add to your aching, or that I cost you a prize at the finish line because you had to wait for me. You didn't leave me, despite the rage by which I tried to win the race to the grave. And dear sister, the bravest thing I've ever seen is how you went to war against misery. Do you hear that sound, that lonely trumpet lean? It is the song of victory for now. But wherever the day goes and whoever wins the sprint, you could never let your brothers down. You may be 2 years older, but still I know we're twins. And though at some point the days will grow colder again, long will they live, April's favorite children. End poem.
You did justice to Ben's poem, Gray, and that beautiful read. And let's get some comments. Frank, what did you think?
I thought it was a powerful, powerful poem, powerful read. I thought the emotion shared in this poem was very, very strong. And I like the message of the poem here. He was talking about his relationship with his sister. And in that regard, I really appreciated that. Because we talk about, you know, when we talk about family, that is the one thing that inspires us and should be. So I thought he did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is a very painful poem, you know, especially when you look at the world and what's happening, the injustices you see, and especially if you want to be loved and somebody doesn't love you as much as you want them to. And, you know, and all of us, you know, what I don't know about y'all, but sometimes we all suffer in the fight against depression, sadness, with especially the pressures from around the world that we see. And we're wondering, you know, how much longer will I live, you know, with everything that is just happening. And, you know, I really like the stanza, the traveler, I don't belong to this world. I'm not even sure I belong to this God and all its empty effigies. All I know is where I belonged, not all tangled up in gravity. Ah, just powerful imagery and such deepness of entanglement and love. I really enjoyed that poem, Ben. You did a great job in reading. And we have one more person to comment. Katie?
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought this was... for a start, wonderful title. I really enjoy that. I like a nice, bright title. Very good. And then you lead on to the sadness. I thought, again, the picture is so beautiful. His artwork is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I enjoyed this, though. I thought it was well written. It just moved beautifully, and it moved me. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. And we are. We have. Here we are. Religion of Our Ecstasy by Laurent. I wonder if you would do that for us, please, Laurent.
All right.
Thank you.
Religion of Our Ecstasy. How do you know what I want you to do to me? How you can see the shadow inside of me. Shadow the gestures and beckons its desire. Shadow who worships at your spiritual fire. I'm a shade incomplete. I'm always needing you. A shade who can't compete without the sight of you. A shadow lost in the depths of my extremities. A soul torn loose from its anchor, needing remedies. How do you know what I think in my mind, alone? How I believe that you sit on an immortal throne? Sexual religion on my knees, now I genuflect. Supplicants whose disease my body can't reject. Lost in the mind maze, wrought by a Daedalus. Each turning anticipates your blessedness. A life far away grows slowly in intensity. Fire burning hotter, signaling your clemency as you worship with me, the religion of our exes. And
oh my goodness, this is just striking as it is beautiful and emotive. Especially when you started off, how do you know what I want you to do to me? How you can see the shadow inside of me, shadow that gestures and beckons its desire, shadow who worships at your spiritual fire. I am a shade incomplete. I am always needing you. You know, I noticed that you wrote this to some a Welsh singer, some song lyrics, and I thought, I'm not familiar with this song, but these words, they touch you deeply. For somebody to see inside of you that shadow that is not exposed to other people, and to have them go in there and caress that shadow, this is just that desire for to be touched. Oh, my Laurent, you did that so wonderfully. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of his Laurent's poem?
Well, I did a beautiful read of the poem. You can feel the lyrical nature to it. And I really enjoyed the poem throughout, but especially those last lines, as you worship with me, the religion of our ecstasy. And how hot and erotic is that? Just beautiful.
Thank you, Gray. And I'd like to know what you think about the poem, Zawa.
Sorry, I'm on mute again. It's so great to hear you again, Laura. He has a way of expressing himself through choice of words, and how he mixes them together is incredible. I love what you said. You said it so beautifully, both of you. It's so true. Someone who can get inside of you and see what's hidden. First of all, someone special. And then he doesn't shy to say how needy, especially men don't really have trouble to say that they're needy. They want the woman to be needy. So that's just very beautiful to hear it, that without her, you're incomplete and needy. Amazing from the start to the end.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Noah. And Irish Rose, I would like to know what you think.
Oh, well, I think Laurent took a deep dive here on many, many different layers and many different levels. And I like the lines, I'm a shade incomplete, I'm always needing you, a shade who can't compete without the sight of you, a shadow lost in the depths of my extremities, a soul torn loose from an anchor, needing remedies. How do you know what I think in my mind alone? And I like that because what it does is it speaks of a truth that men don't rarely reveal, and that's called vulnerability when they're really talking that kind of an emotion. And it's not often found. And when you're probing the depths of what lies below, and women are always, we feel like we become more vulnerable, but men don't really say that too much. And when you're speaking of raw emotion and truth, that is part of the real truth, is the vulnerability of the asking. And I really enjoyed this. Very well written.
Great. Thank you so much. And Laurent, do you want to say anything about your poem?
Yeah, I should have made the AN a little more clear. This song, if you were going to rap this song, this is very rappable. But I was talked out. I was going to read it that way too, but I got talked out of it by someone who told me, just read it. And so I just read it. But it's the rhythm of the reference that I made to Ren, who has a number of songs with a very distinct rhythm. It's the rhythm that was reminded to me. This was actually written to a prompt for The Artist Seduction, but never posted to that show because I wasn't feeling well that night. So that's all I got to say about that.
I enjoyed it. It was just beautiful. It was emotions that you could feel, that hiddenness where you're vulnerable and you don't want to be hurt, but you want that person so bad. You did a fabulous job, Laurent. And Salwa, you can add a poem to the open poetry so we can hear you read. And I would, because I haven't heard you read in a long time, and I would love to hear your voice. And back to you, Katie, for another open poetry poem.
All righty. Give me a second.
I think there's only two left. Well, Salva will be three. Lauren,
okay,
and Jack and Sharp.
Is that the moment?
Sorry to interrupt. Do you want me? Sorry to interrupt. Do you want me to put it on the board or send it to Katie? I wasn't sure.
No, put it on my list so I can comment on it later. It's right there in the topic board. It's the first one, Garden of Enlightenment. If you would add it there so that she can put it. And Katie, if you want to, let's drop in. Thank you. And let's go ahead and drop one more.
Okay, I've got Tipping Point by Jack Tomkovic. I wonder if, I wonder if Frank would like to read this. And if you could carry on without me, I'll be back in 2 minutes, okay?
Okay. I can barely hear you. Can you read, Frank?
Okay.
Go ahead and start reading, and I'll let you know if we can hear you.
I just don't want to seem rude if I start reading and I cut off.
Okay. All right. So let me get somebody else to read. Irish Rose, I would love to hear you read Jack Thompson.
Thank you. Sure, I'll read it. Tipping Point by Jack Tomkovic. Begin poem. The balance can shift so quickly on the knife blade, the razor's edge, that fast. In an instant, a New York raspberry, a hummingbird beat. 10,000 ghosts stacking, denting on the edge of a pin, or the Titanic dropping 10,000 feet after the iceberg. Peel the steel side like a can of tuna pouring bodies into the sea so cold with ice cubes floating, or olives in a giant martini glass. The Poseidon flipping upside down like a birthday cake, trapping the prey below the surface, apples bobbing. The balance can shift deadly quick. In poems.
That was a fabulous poem by Jack Tonkovic. He says, just some thoughts on balance and balance. Be careful, our democracy is at peril. Peace. And you did such a fabulous job in reading it. His imagery is just amazing. Laurent, what did you think of Jack's poem?
Very timely. The balance can shift so quickly on the knife blade, the razor's edge, that fast, in an instant. And it's true. If we're not paying attention to what's going on around us, if little by little the pillars of democracy are being slowly worn away, almost like the Count of Monte Cristo going through a wall over a period of years with a spoon, it doesn't matter what is being used to eat away at those pillars of democracy, sooner or later they will fall if we don't pay attention. And the metaphor of the Titanic, I thought was a good one, because, you know, everybody said, it can't possibly ever sink. It's made too well. And the first thing it does is it sinks. Mm-hmm. And using the Poseidon, flipping upside down based on the movie, et cetera, trapping the prey works really, really well. The balance can shift deadly quick, and bam, we're upside down, not breathing.
Agreed. And I loved your comment on that. And I would like to know what you think, Gray Eye.
Well, this is definitely a deep poem for Jack. I mean, you know, he normally writes very whimsically and with some humor. But, you know, this is deadly serious, and the point is well received. You know, we're at the tipping point, and we better be careful. So beautiful, right? And fantastic read, Irish.
Thank you. Well, you know, there's some that saying that be careful what you wish for because it could possibly happen. And then they whine about it. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
Was very powerful, very inspiring. I thought the metaphors were just rich with messages. And overall, I thought the poem had really a great motto to the poem. So I thought overall it was an excellent write.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comments, fantastic poem. And Katie, Sawa just added a poem at the bottom. If you could please add it.
Yes, is that the days go by? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. I'm hello, Kitty, home. By the way.
Hello, my dear. Lovely
hello,
to hear you.
Hello. Lovely
hello,
to hear you, too. Thank you.
Hello. No
problem. Hello, everyone.
Okay. I'm just going to put it on now. And it will be there
thank
in
you.
Just 1 second. Calm, deep breaths. We're doing fine. Nobody panic.
It's been a while.
I know. No, I know exactly how that feels. You should have heard me the first time I tried to talk. Embarrassing. So you'll do wonderfully. You don't even think about it. Okay, here it is now.
Okay.
The days go by and I remain.
The days go by and I remain. Les jours coulent et moi je demeure. The days go by and I remain. I'm lost in my thoughts. I cannot escape. Tomorrow at dawn. As soon as my eyes sparkled, my thoughts would know, little by little, where to go. They will fly to the heavens with memories of smiles, with leaves of flowers. I don't know if you have time to read the French. I might skip it. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want me to read it? Do you have time or just skip it?
No, we haven't heard you in a long time. So go ahead and read it. Oh, I would love to hear it.
Okay. Thank you. Les jours coulent et moi, je demeure. Je suis perdue dans mes pensées. Je ne peux y échapper. Demain, dès l'aube, dès que mes yeux s'éveilleront, mes pensées seront petit à petit. Où t'aller? Où aller? Elles s'envoleront vers les cieux avec des souvenirs, de beaux sourires, avec des pétales de fleurs and the poem.
It was beautiful. I have deeply missed you, my precious one. So let's get some comments.
It's true.
Katie, what did you think of Sawa's poem?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful and so well read. I love the French. I mean, I don't speak it, but I love to hear it. Absolutely beautiful. I'm glad you read it in French as well. I would have missed that. But I thought this was just, my thoughts will know little by little where to go. Then I will fly to the heavens with memories of smiles, with leaves of flowers. That's so sweet. Beautifully done. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would love to know what you think, Irish Rose.
Oh, I love your poetry anyway. And it's so good to hear you again. and I thought it was flowing. I thought it was magical and lyrical and singing, and it's the way it moved through the entire poem and the way it was expressed, and it was just beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, it was. Thank you. Beautiful comment. You know, what I love about your poetry, Solomon, especially when I hear you read, it puts you in a trance, like a dream state, and it's just pulls you in and just holds you in your beautiful thoughts. And, you know, especially where you talk about how you're, as soon as my eyes sparkle, my thoughts will know little by little where to go. This was absolutely beautiful, the memories that you captured here, and you just, you know, just took us all in with the beauty of your poem. Thank you so much. And Laurent, what did you think?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have Selma back. It's been too long, Selma. And I just love the translations. The days go by and I remain. I'm lost in my thoughts. I cannot escape. Les jours coulent et moi je demeure. Je suis perdu dans mes pensées. Je ne peux échapper. The words, for instance, les jours coulent, the days go by. It's an absolutely accurate translation, but yet in my mind, le jour coule, it's a word that I would use to indicate that water is flowing out of something. And, you know, that's what I get emotionally. So it is interesting to see the difference between the English and the French, and back again, because it works both ways with the languages. Really nice job, so much.
Thank you, Laurent. Merci.
Thank you. And Katie, we're back to you, sweetheart.
Okay, my dear. I'll just be with you in a moment. I think I put it up, but I don't know where to put it.
Sharp. We have Sharp and Lawrence. Those are the two left. Okay, ready to go.
So let's have some new cliches by S. Sharp. And if you don't mind, I know it goes against protocol, but I would like to read this.
He does have a SoundCloud.
Oh, boulder dash. Okay.
You can get the next one, girlie.
No, it's just this one.
Boulder dash.
Let's have some new cliches. Let's switch it up a bit. Take some old cliches, freshen them up, or just cut to the chase. All the glitters isn't gold. Should be, if it isn't on TikTok, does it really matter? Don't get your knickers all in a twist. Must be updated to read, say another word, I'll give you a wedgie. All for one and one for all could be construed in modern society to mean, I have a gun and a license to carry. You sure you don't want to do it my way? And they all lived happily ever after. More correctly, should read, no one has ever found their bodies, so we assume they are living happily somewhere else. But we did fill out a missing persons report. Read between the lines, albeit in line with today's politically correct world, now in a ditch, should simply read, great to meet you. Eat me. A diamond in the rough could be understood as saying, man, there are a whole lot of losers around here. Without a care in the world unquestionably means, yep, he's dead, get the shovels.
Oh.
I love you more than life itself, loosely translated means, I'm about to commit suicide, step back. I don't want to accidentally take you with me. Laughter is the best medicine, you know. Maybe we should just keep this one. But I suggest you run along and refill your drink just in case. I'll take a double.
I have got to say, I have never read any humorous thing that sarcasm that's just dipped in a pencil that just scribbles across You know, especially where, I know you can't see this on the radio, but where he says, great to meet you, where he emphasized, eat me. don't get your knickers all in a twist. Oh my, I love this shark. What fabulous humor. Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, he did a wonderful read on this. But, you know, I loved his translations of, you know, some new cliches. You know, right from the start, it says, let's switch it up a bit, take some old cliches, freshen them up, or just cut to the chase. You know, like, that's just straight up as it gets. And then each one is definitely thought out and well brought forward. So beautiful, right, on a fantastic subject.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. And I would love to know what you think. Salwa, are you still with us? Okay, she dropped. Okay, Frank dropped. Okay, good night, guys. Just want to make sure I don't call on somebody they're not here. What did you think about this poem, Laurent?
I loved it. How could you not? I mean, it's funny as hell. And you know what? It could have gone on for another 100 lines. It's a wonder. There should be a part 2, 3, 4, and 5 to this. I can think of a few that you could have a whole lot of fun with. I love the all for one and one for all. It would be construed in modern society to mean I have a gun and a license to carry. You sure you don't want to do it my way? I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's delicious. It's very, very good.
Yes, it is. I totally agree. And what did you think about the poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I just thought it was a riot. I'm so chock full of sarcasm and witty stuff, you know, of all the cliches that we hear all the time. And my mind immediately went to Kevin. Don't, you know, when he, it's like, it's the cliches, you know. I could just see it in my head. Yeah, it was really well done, and I enjoyed it.
Agreed. Okay, Katie, we're ready for, we still got time for one more.
Okay, I'm off mute. Yes, I am. La, 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 la. I still did. Just sing amongst yourselves. I'll be with you in a moment. No hurry. No hurry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I love this. Okay, religion.
I think there's. Mm-hmm.
Tell me. What,
go ahead.
What?
No. There's one more. I think you got it, Lawrence.
Yeah.
He's right.
I already read that one. I read that earlier.
I thought you had. God damn it.
Did you read this earlier? Parrot comedian? I don't remember you reading that.
I can see that my poem was very memorable. I like that. Mm-hmm.
No. We just finished reading Scott. No, I saw
Parrot comedian.
Saw,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We got Salva. We got Neurons. We got Scott. I'm going from the bottom up. We got Jack. We got Hope, we got Frank, we got Ben, and I don't think we read the parrot comedian.
Okay,
yeah,
well.
The parrot comedian.
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, Laura, I'm sorry. I bet it's Laurent. Oh, fudge. Okay, this is easy. I can do this. I wish somebody else was doing this, but I could do this.
It's not that easy, you know. It's not easy to be running several boards, commenting and everything. It's not. But we do it because we love it.
Exactly. I do. I enjoy it. So,
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you sent that. You messaged me the link. You need to
yes,
put it in the group
just,
so everybody can read it.
I just noticed.
Yeah, you got the right poem. You got. You. No, I don't mind. We all work together.
The
okay.
minute I saw it, I realized I sent it to you instead of to the board. But here it is anyway.
No problema.
And, Laurent, would you like to read this, please? I'm presuming it doesn't have a SoundCloud.
Parrot comedian.
Yeah.
There once lived this farmer whose claim to fame was he owned a parrot. It was a comedian. Very funny. He would dress with big shoes and a big old red nose on his beak, and he would just go around joking and killing the other animals with its humor. One day, the parrot was walking around looking for somebody to slay when this big, ugly, white albino skinhead rat came up to the parrot and said, "Go ahead, say something funny and slay me." So the parrot, with the big old shoes and red nose on its beak, told the racist rat, "Polly, want a cracker?" And the rat just started cracking up. He said, "You're slaying me." And the parrot just got up and ate him up. Another day, the farmer saw the parrot walking around looking for someone to slay. And all of a sudden, it laid down underneath this big tree and was looking up. The farmer, seeing this, got worried that his parrot was dying. And he had just scheduled him for an appearance on Jay Leno Live. He went up to the parrot and said, "Oh, no, please don't die. I need you, parrot." In return, the parrot got his wing and put it to his beak and said, "Shh," and pointed upwards. The farmer looked up and was amazed to see an entire tree full of squirrels looking down intently, waiting for the punchline. The parrot said, "You're all nuts," in which case all the squirrels started cracking up and one by one falling to the ground, slayed. And the parrot just got up and started eating them up. The moral of the story is, if you see a parrot with big fat shoes and a big old red nose, try not to laugh and just walk away. Walk away. End poem.
I have got to say, I could listen to you read comedy all the time, Laurent. I love your voice and your inflection. You did such a fantastic job. Okay, look, I'm probably kind of a little bit like the parrot because, yes, I do like corny jokes. And I love, "Polly, you want a cracker?" And the parrot says, "You're all nuts." Yeah, that is fabulous humor, and especially the way you read it, Laurent. Thank you so much. Katie, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Oh, I thought it was good. I love the way you read it. You threw yourself into that. Oh, so good. And I sorry, I'm still laughing. "Don't die, please don't die. I need you." Points upwards. I just
couldn't.
Oh, man. So funny. So, yeah, I do love Polly Wants a Cracker. Polly Wants a Cracker. Brilliant.
Oh,
thank
my
so
goodness.
Much.
I've only got 90 seconds left. Irish Rose, what did you think? Irish Rose?
Did she drop?
Okay. I don't know if she dropped or they dropped. What did you think about the poem, Laurent, that you read?
I thought it was very good. When you attempt humor like this, the problem is you've got to deliver. It can't fall flat. It's attempt, right? And the language that he used and the way he wrote it, it just puts a permanent smile on your face. The pacing was good. The jokes were corny, but they were corny in the best way, and they served the story perfectly.
Yes, they were.
I loved it.
I loved it, too. And Gray, fantastic. Gray Eyes,
did you think? A wonderful job of bringing that poem to life, Lauren, with its humor. I thought you really captured the essence of the write. Just a fantastic write. You know, it really captures the corny humor that is quite wonderful at times. So beautifully done.
Nah, not at times, all the time. Okay, guys, I love you. Thank you to Phil, to Katie, to Irish Rose, to Laurent, Gray Eyes, Sovlin, Frank, and Hope, and everybody that was hanging out in the group earlier. We can't do this without you, and I love you guys. Besitos a todos. Buenas noches. I love you. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
See you next week.
Good night, my darling.
Good night.
More fun.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, sweetheart. Night. Good night, guys.
Good night, John Boy.